Welcome back to another episode of the UTG podcast. My name is Stephen Mullen, and thanks for listening. We're at the end of a little mini series that Paul and myself have been working through, and we've just been looking at really the subject of the Bible. How can we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Or to use Paul's words at the start of his book, how can we prove it? How can we prove the Bible is the Word of God? And we've taken Paul's acronym, the word prove, and been looking at five key proofs that the Bible is indeed God's Word, that it is true and it is inspired. And we've looked at prophecy, we've looked at reality, we've looked at oneness. In our last episode, we thought about verification, how various things like science, archaeology, and history all back up the Bible. But we finished today with the last word, Paul, which is
experience.
And I guess this is getting to the point where we have to just enter the Bible for ourselves, and we have to test it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Up to this point, we've been looking at other sources of evidence, either within the Bible or external sources and evidences. But now we're going to think about really that final proof, which is something that each of us has access personally.
Yeah.
So, Paul, how do you want to talk about this today?
Well, I would say that this is probably the way the majority of people come to have a conviction that the Bible really is God's Word. It's through their own interaction with it. Now, they maybe couldn't offer any kind of reasoned sort of debate style proofs that the Bible is God's Word, but just through their own experience, they've come to this conviction that it is. And that is a legitimate way of knowing that the Bible is God's Word. If you think when the Lord Jesus was on earth, he healed people by the power of his word. And if you had come to one of those people that the Lord had healed and said to that person, is there any power or authority in the word of Jesus of Nazareth? They would have said, well, yes, his word has power. His word has authority. His word is God's word. And if you had said, well, how can you prove that? They would have said, well, just look at me. Just look at me. I once couldn't move, and then he came and he spoke. And now look at me. That should be evidence enough. And it's the same thing when it comes to the experience of people through their interaction with the Word of God. Their lives have been dramatically changed. So the way I've put it to people, right, I'm not an electrician. My brother's an electrician. I'm not. And
you're certainly not an electrician.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And I know nothing about electricity, right? But even though I'm inept and incapable in that whole realm, I can still know if there's power at a socket. And how can I know that? Well, I can take an appliance and I can plug it in. And if the appliance works, well, then there's power at the socket. And it doesn't matter how qualified someone is as an electrician. If they try and persuade me that there's no power at the socket, I will not believe them. I know that this appliance, which once was dead, now it works. And that's the way it is for so many people when it comes to the Bible. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so there are people who have plugged in, right? They have received the Savior the Bible offers. They have submitted to the authority of the Lord in their lives, and they have accepted the gospel for themselves. And what they find is this, that there is a power in their life now that there wasn't before. There's a new life that is coursing through them. They have a desire for things that once they had no desire for, an appetite for things that once they'd no appetite, an ability to live in a way that they could not have lived before. They're free from the domination of self-destructive habits. They've been lifted and liberated. And so it is undeniable for them and for those that know them that there is something in this message. There's a power in the message of the gospel.
Yeah. So is it the kind of thing that these other proofs often, for those that are doubting, they can lead us to the point of going, actually, this is a book to be trusted, and this is God's word, and therefore, there's maybe enough mm-hmm. has been settled that gives somebody the confidence to actually take God's word and apply it to their mm-hmm. own life, to rest and depend themselves on God's promises mm-hmm. And His word. But then what happens, as you said, is that the experience of knowing that God's word has power in my mm-hmm. life, that God's promises have been fulfilled in my life, that His way that He promises will bring blessing, that it has actually brought blessing. Now that experience is the greatest proof. Uh-huh. It's the one that I lean on most.
Yes.
It's the one that I am most convinced of and would die for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even more so than some of these others. Yes. And yet that's the one that probably might not hold up the most in a debate hall.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And when we look at prophecy, reality, oneness, verification, what we're doing is we're saying to people, look, you can believe in the gospel because I've shown you the Bible is true. But with the experience, people take that step of faith and they trust the Savior that the gospel offers, and they find that changes their life. And so it's not that they believe the gospel because of the evidence of the Bible. They believe the Bible because of the evidence of the gospel. This gospel that is found in the Bible has life-transforming power. And so the book that contains this message must be a book that comes from God. And that is something that people can have confidence in, all right? They can know in their own experience that this message is real. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else in the world that could have produced what this message has produced. So that is a very legitimate way of knowing that the Bible is God's word.
And what are some of the ways that God invites us to test out His word?
Well, when I was a boy, I remember when I was concerned about my own spiritual welfare, I realized I need to make sure that I'm right with God. And I got down on my knees at the side of my bed, and I turned in the Bible to John 3:16, and I read that well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish." Now, that's really where I stopped. That's all I was interested in, making sure that I wouldn't perish. And so I accepted the Lord's promise that if I trusted Him, if I believed on Him, I wouldn't perish. But there's another wee bit to the verse. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Bible doesn't just promise that if you believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, you'll not perish. You will go to heaven when you die. It promises that, but it doesn't just promise that. It promises that you will have new life, God's life, right now. And that is something that I discovered then as I went on. This book that used to be of no interest to me, now it is. You discover that you have a desire for pleasing God that wasn't there before. You feel at home amongst God's people and in God's presence in a way you didn't before. And all of these things are evidences of new life. There's a consciousness of a relationship with God as Father that wasn't there before, an ability to pray and to experience that communion with God. And also, when you get into the Bible, you encounter God there. God meets with you there. And he gives guidance, he gives power, he brings change into the life. And he brings comfort, and you're impressed with his glory and his beauty. These are all ways in which the Bible is what people talk about as self-authenticating, right? You come to the Bible and you know it is a revelation from God, because in it you're getting a revelation of God. You're enthralled by his beauty and glory. So that's one way. That's a bit of a rambling answer to that.
And I guess the challenge for us is, you know, I remember an older guy I talked to him about doubt, really, the subject of doubt, and he was just sharing how that whenever he was about 30 years old, he had a real season of being, as he put it, in Doubting Castle.
Mm-hmm.
He went and talked to a kind of a well-known Bible teacher about this, you know, how, you know, almost looking for answers, mm-hmm. almost looking like for these different proofs to secure his mm-hmm. confidence in God's word again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was almost anticipating in reminders of things like mm-hmm. the prophecies mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know the oneness of scripture or whatever. But the Bible teacher, he just said, well, I think what you need is a fresh experience of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, in our lives, that it is this experience of God through depending on his word, taking his word
mm-hmm.
as true and resting ourselves on it and expecting the results.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then experiencing the results. Those are the things that we look back on.
Yeah.
In times of doubt and say, actually, but that happened.
God
did speak to mm-hmm. me. God's word affected change in my life. Yeah. I was different after I trusted his word in mm-hmm. these different ways. And that becomes now markers on our path that we can look back and say, no, that is a key element of my of why I can continue to trust
yes.
God's word, even though right now I'm doubting it, mm-hmm. even though I'm being assailed by questions or critiques.
Mm-hmm.
That happened, yeah. And that is true. So I guess that's an encouragement for us all, for those who are Christians, to look back over your life, you know, in times of doubt, and recount what have been your own experiences of God's power through
yes.
his word in your life.
Well, you find in Genesis, for example, the patriarchs would build pillars, monuments for times when they encountered God. Those things had to be memorialized. Those things, there had to be something put down there. And I think it's good for Christians to do that as well, just to build those pillars in your own memory of those experiences, those times when you have mm. encountered God in a very definite way. And what's also useful to think about, not only your own personal experience, but the experience of others
yeah.
as well. So how do I know from experience that the Bible is God's word? Well, there's been this new life. I've got this new life, and there have been these times when God has really met with me through his word and so on. But also, I can take books off the shelves of these great Christians down through history. And I can read about them having experiences with God. I can speak to people in the local church fellowship and speak to them. How did the gospel change your life? How has God, through his word, met your needs? I can speak. Every Christian has their own story to tell of experiences with God. And so I would say to someone, if there's someone who's listening and you're not a Christian, a good thing would be to find a Christian and say, tell me about your experience with God. How is God real to you? Has he answered your prayers? Has he met your need? Has he changed your life? And the thing is, everyone who is a Christian or has been a Christian for any length of time would be able to tell you a story of how they have experienced the reality of God in their lives.
And that same question is also a great question for every one of us mm-hmm. to ask. Yeah. I was thinking of the value of the older generation. Mm-hmm. I guess I've been in times where I've had serious doubt and struggled over these things, particularly around the Bible and the inspiration of the Bible. And you can be so absorbed in some of these mm-hmm. Areas of knowledge. Mm-hmm. You can go and research mm-hmm. history, and you're in the history mm-hmm. books, and you can be reading about archaeology, and you could be digging into the science. Mm. But in this theme that we're looking at today, I would really encourage you, just go and talk to yeah. older men and women who mm-hmm. have lived life and have yeah. experienced life, and ask them the question that we've put forth there. Yeah. What have been your experiences of God? Mm-hmm. There are many, many older folk who are sitting there with a lifetime of experience, mm-hmm. and they would with joy yep. share that story, mm-hmm. And that could often be the thing that will really give us the encouragement that we need in times of doubt.
Yes. So I think that is, in a sense, that's where God wants to meet with us, in our experience. And these other proofs are great, but the desire isn't just that people would come to a settled conviction that the Bible is God's word. The desire is, right, given that the Bible has shown itself to be God's word, I want to encounter God through the word. I want to see his glory, and I want to hear his voice. I want to know that change in my life. Because that's what Paul says he writes to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. He says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. So when we welcome the word of God as the word of God into our lives, what happens is it effectively works. It brings change and produces fruitfulness and growth in our lives. It changes us. And that is a powerful demonstration to ourselves and to others that the Bible is God's word. I mean, there are people who, they're not Christians themselves, but they have seen the effect of the word of God in the lives of friends or family members, and they can't lightly dismiss the claims of the Bible. They've seen reality. Mm. They've seen its power.
Amen. God spoke in the beginning, and everything was mm-hmm. The creation came about by God's word, and the new creation mm-hmm. in terms of our own lives, God's word speaks, and when we yield to his mm-hmm. word and depend upon his word, it will produce new life and wherever God's word is, there is power and there is change and impact.
That's it. So when I speak to people who are skeptical or unbelievers, a lot of times, you know, I want to show them the prophecy or the unity of Scripture. I want to get into those things with them. But what I would say is, if someone is willing to read the Bible honestly and humbly, either on their own or with a Christian friend, if they're willing just to open themselves up to God's word, well, they'll experience it. I think John chapter 1, there, Philip is goes and finds his friend Nathanael. It says to Nathanael, we find him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. Right? Just if you would just honestly come and listen to him for yourself, just investigate for yourself, you'll get the proof that you need. And he did. He heard the Lord's word and he confessed, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. And so I would just love that people would really honestly and openly listen to the word for themselves. Just open themselves up to it and let God speak.
Thank you, Paul. That brings us to the end of our wee mini-series. Really appreciate the time just to think through some of these proofs, and that's a good place to finish. Come and see, come and experience God himself through his word. I think that's a challenge to us all. So thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
For more on these kinds of subjects, check out understandingthegospel.org. We have an updated app that you can also download. You can check us out on social media as well, and stay up to date with the latest posts and videos and podcasts that we're creating. So thank you so much, and until next time, goodbye.